people are living with this idea that, like, there's us and then there's the angry father, and Jesus is in between us and the father. Mm-hmm. And the father is angry and he wants to punish us. But that's not at all the case. Mm-hmm. Jesus is standing at our side between the father and the accuser. And so when the accuser says things about us, Jesus serves as a constant reminder of who we are in him, mm-hmm. that we're not who the accuser says we are,
right.
that we are righteous and we are seated with him in heavenly places.
Yep.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making Hestery. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And we're glad to be back.
We are.
We've had a full week.
Yes, we have.
Very full week.
It's been good.
Yeah.
A good, full of fun things.
Yes. So you got to take the girls to Nashville.
And Ollie.
Yep. And Ollie. It is crazy.
One day we'll be used to saying him.
It is crazy. How I cannot break the habit of just saying the girls.
I can't either. It's okay. And today, for some reason, I've been calling him she.
Yeah, that happened a couple times. I'm like,
no, come on, brain.
I know.
We have a boy.
You took the kids to Nashville.
Took the kids to Nashville.
All three of them.
Yep. Had a baby shower to go to for a high school friend. That was super fun.
Yep.
Super fun to be with all of our, we had a close-knit group of girls in high school.
And that we super called cool name.
The Click Six. Shout out to you girls listening. Which is like equally super embarrassing that we had a click name.
Yeah.
But also like, I feel like it's kind of, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's just, it's fun.
Yeah. I don't know if cool is the right word.
Yeah. Well, hey, we had a better name than like another group, which I'm not even going to say it because what if they're listening? I don't want to offend anybody. But
was that like a normal thing? I don't have any friends in high school.
Yeah.
That I know of that ever gave their little friend group like a name.
Right. Maybe it was more normal in like suburban Nashville area. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. At our school, there were multiple groups that we just dubbed ourselves.
Okay.
With so, names, which like not every, it's not like everybody was like, oh, the Click Six is coming. You know, it's, we weren't like mean girls. It's not like we were like Regina George walking up, you know, it was mostly just like that's what we called ourselves. It wasn't like, that's what we're called.
Yes.
It was just like,
so there was no expectation for other people to call you the Click Six.
Absolutely not.
Did anybody else call you the Click Six?
Really think so?
Okay.
Maybe like the guys that we were friends with, because we had like, that was like the girls, the Click Six were the girls, but then we also had like six or seven guys.
Okay.
In our friend group too, but they were not included in the name.
Yeah.
Which I think even if we tried, they would have been like, absolutely not.
Okay. So if you're listening, if in like high school or sometime in your life, you had a group of friends that you had a name for, like the Click Six, we want to know about it.
So let's hear it.
Send us an email or shoot us a message on Instagram.
Yeah.
I want to hear about it. I want to hear about all the friend names, the friend group names.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's a normal thing or if it was just kind of a my area thing. Who knows? And I honestly cannot even, I was trying to think the other day, I was like, who started it? I don't remember who initiated the name. I don't know.
Okay.
But so we were. So there we go. So yeah, we got to see.
So you were in Nashville all that to say, if it's over Nashville, the weekend with
seeing those girls.
The kids and with the Click Six.
Yep.
And I couldn't go. I was working all day Sunday.
Yes.
I spoke Sunday evening, played drums Sunday morning.
Yeah, you had a big Sunday.
It was.
Yeah. Long day.
Very long day. Super fun.
You got to, yeah, I'll, you got to speak. Just fun.
Post. I'll put a link in the show notes to the message.
Yeah.
I think it's something everybody needs to hear.
Absolutely. Yeah. I listened to it on the way, on the drive home, and it was very good.
Thank you.
Highly recommend. I always hate missing when you speak, but.
Yeah. It's okay.
What can you do?
It's all right. So yeah, that was our weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I hurt my back this morning.
You did.
Which is very dumb. So I don't know, a year and a half, I've worked out pretty consistently.
Yeah.
And like nothing crazy. I'm just trying to stay active.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to let my body not just live in a constant state of like atrophy.
Sure.
So I'm not trying to like do anything crazy. I just want to keep my body like, you know, somewhat strong and active and healthy. And so about three times a week I go to the gym. And part of the reason part of the motivation for getting back into working out was that I was just noticing as I was kind of in my 30s now, body's just not really feeling the same as it always has.
Sure.
It's a little, it was getting a little more normal, maybe a little more common to like wake up with my back kind of hurting.
Little aches and pains.
Yeah. Stupid things like that.
So dumb.
And so I thought, well, okay, let's get my body kind of back into gear.
Yeah, let's counteract all these.
Throw some weights around.
Middle-aged things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Try to stay strong and healthy. And I hurt my back doing the very thing that I was doing to try to keep my back healthy. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. It snuck up on you.
And I wasn't doing anything crazy or different or unusual.
No, like extra weight.
I had been at the gym for like
maxing out.
No. Yeah. And I never really do that.
Right.
Whatever I'm doing, I always have a weight that I'm doing where I'm doing between like 8 and 12 reps. So mm-hmm. I'm not like pushing myself sure. too hard just because I like don't want to hurt myself.
Right.
And so I'd been at the gym for like 10 minutes.
Oh no.
I'd done a couple of sets of pull-ups to kind of get warmed up. And then I was doing back and biceps today and I was doing bicep curls with like a bar.
Yeah.
And it was just a normal weight.
Yeah.
I was feeling great. And all of a sudden I just came up one time and I had this like horrible like shooting pain. It's like seizing of like the lower left part of my back.
Yikes. Your back said, nope, we're done.
Yeah. So
it's so weird.
Like barely got like the weights put away. And then I just like kind of waddled back to like the back area where I could lay one of those mats down. I just like laid on the ground for a little while, like kind of stretched a little bit.
Yeah.
And, loosened up just a bit, but it stinks.
Yeah.
Thankfully we have a chiropractor that we love.
Yes. Emergency help.
Yes.
Yeah. We've both had weird back injuries.
Yeah.
Like my back injury, we were talking about earlier was even more embarrassing than yours, where I was literally just sitting there, well, standing there washing dishes. And then all of a sudden I just couldn't stand up.
I don't know if
it was so weird.
That was very weird.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know if I would qualify that as like an injury.
Yeah, I guess
I
not.
Mean,
well,
I guess I
did bend over to pick something
like
up.
Injured.
Yeah.
But to me, an injury is like you're doing something. Something happens. You're not just like, standing there.
What happened? Something must have happened.
Yeah.
Because I went from being able to stand upright to not being able to stand upright. Yeah. And I literally walked hunched over for the next like 3 days.
Yeah.
That was bizarre. And then it happened a couple other times.
Yeah. That's happened like 2 or 3 times to you.
I think
but there's a name for it.
Right. It's like lumbargo.
Yeah.
Something like that, where it's just like not really an explanation.
Yep.
Your back just really hurts just for a little bit.
Seizes up.
And then you're fine.
Yep.
So and if anybody has any solutions to that.
That's where we're at.
Would love some tips.
I think I'll start stretching more.
Yeah. Probably would be good.
Would be good for both of us, I think.
Yeah. Start a morning stretch routine.
I feel like I would be more likely to stretch in the evening.
Mm.
Before getting in bed or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, like a nighttime stretch routine.
Yeah. I think it's like better to do it in the morning though. So.
Okay. We'll see. We'll figure that out another time.
Yep.
For now, let's get into our topic.
All right.
So last week we talked about the 6 father types.
Yes.
And we talked about the necessity of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Especially just in the context of what we've been talking about. Forgiving our fathers for not being who we needed them to be.
Yeah.
Whenever they weren't, because every father is imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Yep.
And there's only one father that can be everything we need all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The bummer is that sometimes, if we're not careful, our experience with our earthly father will cause us to project ideas and beliefs onto Father God.
Yeah.
And we end up believing things about him that aren't true.
Right.
So if you grew up and dad was scary and he was unsafe or he was just angry, authoritarian, mm-hmm. it'd be very easy to assume that God might be like that too.
Yeah.
And then the bummer of that is I don't want to be close to anybody if that's who I think, if that's right. what I think they're like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you do whatever you can to avoid
yeah.
close contact with that person. And so there's a lack of relationship, of course, because
mm-hmm.
you're doing what you can to keep them at arm's length.
Right. And a lot of people end up, and we talked about this last episode, but a lot of people end up believing, kind of like breaking apart the Trinity, assuming that Jesus, like he came, he loved people well, he died for me. He's the nice one that I want to get to know.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, I don't really understand. Right. He's a bit weird.
A little people, bit of a mystery.
Right. People like us in mm-hmm. charismatic and Pentecostal circles weird people out when it comes to the Holy Spirit.
Big time.
And then people often assume that the Father is like the angry one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." But sometimes, unknowingly, people end up with this subconscious belief that he didn't send his son because he loves us. He sent his son, Jesus, and he died for us so that the Father could love us.
Yes.
Yeah. And so people are living with this idea that like there's us and then there's the angry Father and Jesus is in between us and the Father
mm-hmm.
and the Father is angry and he wants to punish us.
Yeah.
But Jesus is like, no, no, they're good. No, like, remember, yeah. I died for them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, hold off.
Yeah.
Just let, you know. But that's not at all the case. Mm-hmm. Jesus is standing at our side between the Father and the accuser.
Yeah.
And so when the accuser says things about us, Jesus serves as a constant reminder of who we are in him,
mm-hmm.
that we're not who the accuser says we are.
Right.
That we are righteous and we are seated with him in heavenly places.
Yep.
So, yeah, we want to restore as much as possible our view of the Father, to see him as he is, and to not make assumptions about him on the basis of anything other than what his word says and what, you know, he says.
Yeah.
In order to do that, sometimes forgiveness is necessary.
Absolutely. Yeah, because there are going to be circumstances that we go through mm-hmm. in life that paint a picture of Father God that is super inaccurate,
mm-hmm.
that is very far from the truth. But like our experiences, sometimes if we allow them to, can speak louder than the actual truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like the truth right now, especially, there's so much, and we've talked about this on other episodes of just mm-hmm. like, well, this is my truth. This is,
yeah,
you know, but okay, but your truth is not the truth.
Yeah. So truth isn't relative.
Right. Truth is not relative. So yeah. you have to measure Father God with the truth, not yes. your truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So on this episode, we wanted to talk a little more in depth about forgiveness. Because we talked about it last episode, but we mostly just said, like, this is something you probably need to do.
Right.
You should consider. But we also know that not everybody maybe has, like, a well-rounded understanding of what forgiveness is,
mm-hmm.
but also what forgiveness isn't.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about both of those things in this episode.
Yep.
So give us, there's a couple ideas or a couple definitions of what forgiveness is
mm-hmm.
that we want to talk about first. Give us the first one.
Yeah. So one of the first ways that you can look at forgiveness is to give up the desire to punish.
Yeah.
Or to give up resentment
mm-hmm.
towards somebody. So when you have unforgiveness towards somebody, you are wanting that person to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You're holding on to something because they have done something wrong to you. They have hurt you in some way, whether it's your feelings, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever. Somebody has done something that you did not appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And so our instant reaction can be to just hold them captive.
Yeah.
And say, like, you need to pay for this. Mm-hmm. So if you have unforgiveness, that's your desire. You're wanting a desire to punish. So with forgiveness, true forgiveness, you are looking to release that desire
and
to give up that desire to punish somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
That if there's somebody in my life that I am either looking for an opportunity to punish or like wishing ill of them. Mm-hmm. I want something bad to happen to them.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a pretty good indication that I probably need to forgive them.
Right.
Yeah. That's absolutely a good way of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And another way that you can look at it is to pardon somebody.
Mm-hmm.
When you're forgiving somebody, you're pardoning them of the offense that they made against you.
Yeah.
And basically letting them go free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it goes along with that first definition of giving up somebody, you know, giving up the desire to punish somebody because you're allowing them to go free in your mind, essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about this in a bit, but right as you said that, I feel like we need to clarify that pardoning somebody doesn't mean thinking that what was done is okay.
Right.
That's not what pardoning means.
No, not giving permission that like, Yeah, sure, it was fine.
Yes, not making allowances or justifying what was done.
Yeah.
You can simultaneously admit that you were wronged and that you were hurt and that what happened caused you pain.
Yeah.
But also, like you said, letting them off the hook or like pardoning them.
Yeah.
Saying, I release you from my resentment and from my desire to punish you for what you did.
Mm-hmm. Those are two good ways to look at forgiveness, good definitions of forgiveness. And the last one, which maybe like one of the most powerful ones in my opinion, is that forgiveness can be canceling a debt that somebody owes you or that you feel that somebody owes you. So when you have those feelings of unforgiveness towards somebody or towards a certain situation, there automatically is just something that is lacking there that you wished would have happened, that you wanted somebody to do, but they didn't do. And so now you have that unforgiveness towards them. But when you walk through forgiveness, you are saying like, okay, this never happened. You never actually acknowledged this need that I had or what you did to me, how you hurt me. But I'm going to walk through forgiveness and I'm actually going to cancel that debt that I feel is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to hold that against you anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With forgiveness, there is always a debt that has to be paid.
Yes.
And I think that's really especially important to remember just in terms of like our sin and salvation.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that the Father couldn't have forgiven our sins until the debt was paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the debt had to be paid.
Right.
But Jesus said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll pay the debt.
I'll take it all. Yeah.
So he canceled the debt on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be paid.
Right. It can't just be like forgotten. Somebody somewhere has to fulfill the debt in order for it to be, you know, made whole again.
Yes. Yeah. Say somebody just does something hurtful. One of our friends, family members, something says something really offensive, does something and it just causes a level of like hurt or pain.
Yeah.
It would be easy to justify the feeling that you made me feel this way and now your debt is doing whatever it takes to make me not feel this way
better.
Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's your debt. You made me, you hurt me. It's your now like I need to feel better. And so my resentment towards you and you know everything I'm holding against you is communicating that it's your responsibility to make me feel better.
Yeah.
But one of the things we can do to cancel the debt is say, actually, I'm going to let this be an inside job and I'm not going to require you to be the one to make me return to peace and to make me return to joy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just let that, like I said, be an inside job and I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit and I'm going to take care of that.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I feel like all of our topics that we've been talking about kind of intertwine and work together. Cause that's like being a responsible person is saying like, hey, there is a reality that like you have created this situation.
Yes.
But I'm going to take it upon myself to return myself to peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to allow you to have the responsibility for my emotions, for my feelings, for my outcome, because I'm going to take a hold of that and I'm going to turn it for the better or, you know, do whatever it takes, like you said, to restore myself to peace, myself to a place of comfort and feeling like myself again, if that's necessary.
Yeah. So if you grew up And we've been talking primarily about fathers. We probably should have mentioned that, like, some of this stuff could have come from mom too. You know, your mom, depending on your environment you grew up in. Maybe your mom was the scary authoritarian or the abuser, you know. It's not impossible. So just consider the possibility. We're talking a lot about fathers, but it could be your mom too.
Right.
Anyways, we'll bring this back into that context. Let's say you grew up, you had an abusive mom or an abusive dad or both. And they inflicted a lot of like really deep emotional pain, maybe physical pain. And you've kind of been living with this belief that they were the ones that hurt you. And now it's their responsibility to make you whole again. And the problem with that approach is that it leaves all of like your healing and all of your freedom in the hands of somebody else.
Yes.
And that's risky because you don't get to control what other people do. And so you can't make somebody rectify a situation. You can't make somebody repent, and you can't make somebody, you know, you just can't.
Yeah.
It'd be great if they did. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't. So sometimes forgiving looks like recognizing the reality of what happened. What you guys did wasn't good. It wasn't okay. It hurt me. Life has been really hard as a result of that. But I'm going to take responsibility now for pursuing the healing and the freedom that I need. And a lot of time that looks like including forgiveness.
Yes.
It's part of the process.
Yeah. And a big problem too, with another big problem with leaving it in the hands of somebody else, is a lot of times it's often not communicated that is actually the desire. And so people will sit there. I have done this, so that's how I know. We'll sit there just sitting on our hands, waiting and waiting and waiting for the person to come back and say, I'm so sorry for A, B, and C. And almost 100% of the time, the person has no idea that either they even did anything wrong in the first place, that you're offended, or that they actually, that you're holding on to this resentment, or that you have this debt in your mind that needs to be settled. Like, most of the time, the offender is living life totally clueless, just happy-go-lucky, has no idea that, you know, you're sitting there waiting for forgiveness. And so whenever you put the responsibility on somebody else, you're risking never even having that opportunity, because chances are you haven't communicated it.
So we've talked about what forgiveness is. We've talked a little bit about what it's not. Let's talk about that a little more.
So talking about forgiveness and what it is not, I think, is equally as important as talking about what it is, because it can just get, it's just such an easy thing to get confused about, like, what it truly is. So the first big thing about what it's not is that forgiveness is not approving what was done.
That's very important.
If there was something that was done wrong to you, when you forgive somebody, it's not you giving them permission to do it again. It's not saying, oh, this actually didn't hurt that bad. It's saying, I forgive you for what was happening or what happened, but it's still not okay. So we just need to know that, like, the line is drawn here.
It's not giving approval to what was done. And it's also not denying what happened. That's also very important.
That's a big one.
So honestly, I think that, like, to pursue real healing and freedom from things that have caused us hurt requires recognizing that this happened. So we're not looking to live in denial. Yes, this happened. What happened was not okay. But I'm going to release you from my resentment, from my desire to punish you. And I'm going to take, I'm not going to require you to be the one to make me return to joy and peace.
But
I'm going to let that be an inside job.
Because when you're living in denial of a situation that happened, you're never going to be able to fully walk out forgiveness. And you might not even be aware of forgiveness that you need to walk into. Because I had a situation in college, without getting into a lot of details here, I was sharing what had happened to me with a friend of mine. And she, like, just told me, she was like, you know, this is what happened. And I was like, well, no, that's not really what it was. And she was like, Katie, yes, it was. Like, this happened to you. And I, like, literally my whole brain was like, what? Like, I hadn't even, because I was so in denial about what had happened to me.
Yeah.
I had pushed it down so much that I didn't even realize what I had actually gone through until I was made aware of it by somebody else.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like her fabricating a situation. It was just her allowing me to step into the reality, into the, honestly, the severity of what the situation was. And while that was super painful in the moment, it was so worth it because I realized I had been like holding on to this situation with like, all my strength. Like, I cannot let this get out. Like, yes. I cannot let anybody know that this happened because like I felt so much shame about it.
Yeah.
But when she like enlightened me about what had happened to me, it sounds so crazy talking about it, but that was when I was fully able to walk out forgiveness with this person that situation happened. And because I was in denial for so long, I was living in captivity myself because I had just made light of something that was actually pretty heavy. And I think the whole time the Lord was probably beckoning me, like, please just let me have the whole thing. Because I had like withheld it from the Lord, saying like, oh no, I can hold on to it. I can handle it. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. All the while I'm like imploding.
Yeah.
And so when you are really letting the Lord take hold of it and saying like, hey, yeah, this is what happened. And I need you to help me walk through this. I need you to help me forgive these people that were involved. I need you to help me forgive myself and so on. Because that's when true freedom really comes, when you actually acknowledge what happened.
Yeah.
Rather than just trying to avoid it.
Yep. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. So it's not about approving what was done. It's not denying what happened.
Nope.
And here's another one. And there's this phrase that people use, forgive and forget. And I don't love that.
No, never been a fan of that.
There's a couple schools of thought here. But one, to forgive somebody, truly forgive them, doesn't actually require that you like forget what happened to the point that you don't remember it. Because like there are a lot of things that happen to us that are lives that are unforgettable.
Yeah.
Now, I have had conversations with people who have said that they've gone through like so much healing with the Lord that they actually like, that they feel like those memories are like leaving them.
Yeah.
That like, even in an attempt to recall, you know, what was happened or what had happened or whatever, they said, I've had people tell me like, I can't really do it anymore because I'm so far removed from it.
Yeah. Or it feels like somebody else's story
story.
Yeah.
Yes. So, not saying that like forgetting can't happen.
Right.
But I don't think that forgetting is the first sign of forgiving.
Mm-mm.
I think that you can forgive somebody with that before you have forgotten.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think that also can kind of go hand in hand with denial, because I think if you're just trying to forget something as a way of forgiveness, I think you're just kind of denying.
Yeah. It didn't happen.
Yep. Yeah. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. We're fine.
Yeah.
And another thing that forgiveness is not is refusing to take the wrong seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like what I said earlier, just kind of making light of a situation that actually was a lot heavier than what you're taking it as. Because that can lead to a lot more hurt, and that can lead to you actually putting yourself out there to experience the same thing over and over and over again. If you're refusing to take something that hurts seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not like actually acknowledging that you yourself are being hurt, you're probably going to repeatedly put yourself in the same situation. You're not going to confront what is being done to you because it's like, oh, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know? And I think if you're like, I used to be a chronic people pleaser.
Yeah.
That's a big one for people pleasers, is refusing to take a wrong seriously, because it's easier sometimes just to let people walk all over you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is not, but that's not any part of forgiveness is refusing to take it seriously.
Right. Yeah. Then you end up living in a place where you're just pretending things that bother you, things that are hurtful.
Yeah.
Just don't, you know, just pretending like it's not really happening or that pretending that it didn't hurt.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've talked about what forgiveness is. Mm-hmm. We've talked about what forgiveness is not.
Yeah.
Actually, there's one more thing I want to tag on to the end of that.
Okay.
And this is not necessarily what forgiveness isn't. In a way, it's that. But it's something that forgiveness doesn't always require. Mm. I think a lot of times people assume, or they have this idea that, like, for me to forgive somebody, it means that I have to go have a conversation with them where I tell them I forgive you.
Yes.
And that is not always the case.
No, it is not.
Not everybody who has caused an offense actually knows that they have.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy how often you have two people. One of them is super bitter and resentful towards the other one, and the other one doesn't even know.
Right.
Because they don't know that they did something hurtful.
No idea. Yeah.
Like, legitimately. You know, that stuff happens all the time.
All the time. And a lot of that, too, is as a result of, like, just people's preferences. Like, if I preferred, you know, to, like, have my, like, quiet time with the Lord totally by myself, you know, but I never actually, like, told you that.
Yeah.
And every morning you were coming in and you were, like, sitting next to me on the couch and also having your quiet time. I could very well, if I never communicated that to you, be building up resentment towards you and have this, like, unforgiveness towards you, like, believe that he keeps coming in and ruining my time with the Lord, you know, but, like, I've never told you that.
Right.
So you don't know. You're probably assuming, like, oh, this is such a sweet time for us to be having time together with the Lord, you know, which I think this reality would be totally flip-flop.
It would be reversed for sure.
But just as an example. So, like, that is so, that's such a common thing. And I feel like especially with spouses, I feel like that's a really common problem in marriage that like, one side has not communicated a need or a desire, and the other one, or the person who hasn't communicated that, has built up resentment towards their spouse. But actually, really, the fault kind of lies in their own hands because they never communicated that need. And so the other spouse is just like, well, I had no idea. Like, I'm so sorry now. Like, what? Why didn't you tell me? You know, but yeah, communication is key. And in those relationships, like you said, the ones that are close that you deal with every day, a lot of times those conversations really do need to happen.
Yeah.
But if there's somebody that, like, you're not really doing life with, maybe it's just a stranger, but you, like, keep rehearsing that injustice in your mind, like, gosh, I can't believe that person, like, cut me off on the road or took my place in line or whatever it is, like, that might just be, like, an individual forgiveness walking through. That you can just deal with it with the Lord.
Now, there are situations in which, like, I don't like using the word toxic because I feel like that's such a buzzword right
now. It is.
And I think people have taken that
to the extreme
farther than maybe it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll use it just for lack of a better term.
Sure.
Sometimes there are people in your life, it could be parents, it could be siblings, that are toxic. And there are people who don't necessarily need to have a place in your life anymore.
Sure.
If they have legitimately, routinely, or repeatedly hurt you, done really hurtful things, they're unsafe to be around, then I think maybe there are situations in which it's worth considering, does this person need to have a place in my life?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the one thing I want to say about this, that this bugs me when I see people on social media talking about toxic relationships and, like, getting rid of toxic relationships and cutting people out of your lives.
Yeah.
I think there's a place for that. The one thing I want to encourage people to do, if you are in a relationship with somebody who is toxic that you need to remove from your life, before you do that, you need to give absolute consideration to the possibility that you may have contributed to the toxicity of your relationship.
Yeah.
So if you are somebody who routinely has people that you need to cut out of your life because every relationship you have is unhealthy, I would look in the mirror and I would consider really consider, am I contributing to the dysfunction in my relationships?
Right.
Because if you are the contributing factor, then maybe you don't need to cut everybody else out of your life. Maybe you need to find someone to talk to and figure out how to break the cycles and the patterns of dysfunction in your life. Okay. We've talked about what forgiveness is. We've talked about what forgiveness is not.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how before you cut somebody out of your life because they're toxic, make sure you're not the toxic one,
right.
or at least that you're not contributing to your dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are contributing, cutting everybody out isn't going to solve the problem, because everywhere you go, there you are again.
Right.
With all that you bring.
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk very quickly about who you need to forgive.
Okay.
The first one is obvious. Other people.
Yep.
People that have hurt you.
Yes. Right.
The people that you are holding on to your bitterness and resentment towards.
Mm-hmm.
The people who you are wanting to punish.
Yeah.
The people who you wish would get payback for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all good indications that you have somebody that you need to forgive.
Yes. Yep. Another one.
Yep.
Is yourself.
Yeah.
This is one that I think people miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have unforgiveness in any situation, it's very easy just to push all the responsibility on somebody else. Like, mm-hmm. you need to make this right.
Yep.
But sometimes you realize, actually, I had a big part in this.
Mm-hmm.
I said yes to the situation. I said yes to this person in my life, this person's influence. And so that's a big one, because if you do not forgive yourself, you're going to continue carrying shame. You're going to continue carrying the weight of that unforgiveness against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to probably find yourself in a cyclical pattern of that same, you know, things happening to you, or the same emotions or whatever it is. You're going to find yourself just kind of stuck if you cannot release yourself from messing up, saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing.
The mistakes you've made in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So we need to forgive other people that have hurt us. We need to forgive ourselves
mm-hmm.
for the times that we have made mistakes, that we have honestly hurt ourselves.
Yeah.
And thirdly, this is really important. And this is one that a lot of people don't understand, but you may need to forgive God.
Yeah.
Now, here's what we mean by that. You don't ever need to forgive him because he's done something wrong,
mm-hmm.
because he hasn't done anything wrong.
Right.
He does everything right all the time.
Let's make sure we remember that. Big time.
But it is possible to perceive that he has done something,
mm-hmm.
that he has hurt you.
Yeah.
And sometimes we end up holding a grudge, or we end up holding bitterness toward God.
Mm-hmm.
So here would be a great example. Let's say somebody did grow up in an abusive household.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes when that happens, if somebody grows up in that environment, they're an adult now, they believe in God, but often the question is, like, how could God let that happen to me?
Yes. Why would he allow me to live in this situation?
Yes. So now you've got somebody saying it's my parents' fault, but it's also God's fault,
mm-hmm.
because he could have stopped it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we have time to fully explain right now the necessity for the existence of pain and suffering, because it's actually like, it plays a major role in our experience.
Yeah.
It's not something that he's the author of.
Right.
But because of how he created the world and he created us to have free will,
mm-hmm.
pain and suffering was inevitable in that. But it's necessary if we're to be the type of people who are capable of loving.
Yes.
We have to be also capable of inflicting pain.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other conversation.
Right. Yeah.
But God created us with a free will,
mm-hmm.
and he lets people use their will. And sometimes people use their will to hurt others.
Right.
And sometimes we have to forgive God, not because he has wronged us, but because we have lived with bitterness and resentment towards him
mm-hmm.
for believing that he has done something that he hasn't actually done.
Yes.
So yeah, I hope that's helpful for somebody listening.
Yeah.
And for anybody listening, we said this last episode, but I want to say it again, that I hope nobody listening thinks that we're saying that forgiveness is easy,
mm-mm.
because it's not easy.
No.
But it is necessary.
Yeah. And everybody's process is going to look different,
mm-hmm.
as far as like length of time, how you go about forgiveness, whether it's like just kind of a, you take it on yourself and you kind of go down the list of, these are the people that I am releasing. Mm-hmm. Or whether it's you taking the time to have those conversations with the people that you're forgiving.
Yeah.
It's always going to be different. So I would just encourage you, if you are listening, to not try to like pigeonhole yourself into a certain idea of what forgiveness looks like, because sometimes the process takes a lot longer than you think it's due. And sometimes it happens in an instant and you feel like the weight of the world has come off your shoulders with one short conversation. Mm-hmm. And so just allow the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to just really walk you through it and lead the way, because he knows how to do it best.
Yes. He does forgiveness very well.
Yes.
He's kind of an expert. Right. It's kind of his thing.
Yeah. He did a really good job of it.
Yes. All right. Well, that's going to be it for this episode.
Sounds good.
So one last quick thing for everybody listening. If you are listening to this on any podcast platform like Apple or Spotify, if you could do us a huge favor, if you have found any value in our content, if you could leave us a good review, that's a very small thing you could do that helps us in a really big way. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you could like this video and subscribe, that's again a very small thing that you can do that helps us in a very big way. But that's it.
That is it.
All right. Well, once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.